It's time for your weekly dose of Wayne's Comics.
Welcome to episode 559 of the Wayne's Comics Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. This week we go on the front lines with Jeff Iser from the Revenge of Shop in Los Angeles. The store focuses on the unexpected intersection of comic books, diversity, and community. Jeff is a TV and film production designer and one of the people who created this shop. They sell a variety of comics from the most popular comic release to graphic novels that teach us how to use personal pronouns correctly to action series without guns to graphic novels about superheroes of color. We talk about how the store came to be, the special events they conduct for their customers, and what we can expect from them in the coming months. Thanks to Sophia Olson and the team at Impact 24 PR for making this interview take place. There's a lot to get to in this episode. So let's get on with the show. It's great to welcome to the podcast Jeff Iser, one of the owners of.
Hello.
Hey, how's it going, Jeff?
Good. I interrupted you. Continue.
That's all right. I'm used to that. Sometimes I have a thought in mind and I pause and people decide that's time to get in. That's okay. You're one of the owners of Revenge of, an LGBTQ plus owned comic book store located in Los Angeles. So you're doing well today.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
It's good to talk with you. I'm interested because every once in a while, it's a good thing to get involved on the front lines and talk about how things are going in different locations and what's going on. So that's what I'm kind of interested in. We're going to talk with it. It's something good, I think, for my listeners to hear every once in a while. So I'm going to be curious about that. So as I was talking about before we started this, why is it called Revenge of?
Well, we wanted a name that people would remember, and we wanted to kind of play with the idea of like Revenge of, and then kind of adding on to it for different things. So we kind of like our socials go by Revenge of Comics and Pinball. So that's like kind of the idea there. But I just wanted something that seemed made people go, why is it called that? You know,
and it does.
It's working.
Yes. So are you one of the owners? Are you the one who came up with that name?
No, there's three of us that are the owners. We all kind of came up with the concept together. I, by trade, am a production designer for film and television. So I kind of handle a lot of the creative stuff as well as like the interior design and events and that sort of thing. So it was kind of like a group effort, you know?
Okay. Now, somebody sent me some information. I'm going to refer to that occasionally. Yeah. It says, what once started as a space to store a pinball machine collection has transformed into a physical and virtual retail destination and connection point for all comic book lovers. So yeah. Whose pinball collection was it?
So, all right. We own a set design and fabrication studio where we design sets, but also build sets for other people. So we have a fairly large warehouse in Glendale, California. And we started collecting pinball machines a few years ago, and it just kind of gradually took over like one room. And then it was another room of the warehouse. And then I was kind of like, this should probably be its own business. So we were like, let's open a pinball place, but you know, might as well bring in our other interests and turn it into like a full retail experience with like all the things that we love.
Okay, great. So where is the pinball machine now, collection? Where is it?
It's in the store. So the store is at 3420 Eagle Rock Boulevard in Glassell Park. So it's half pinball arcade and half comic book bodega.
Okay, interesting. Do you sell other games besides pinballs, or how does that work?
Oh, we don't sell pinballs. It's a pinball arcade. So you can come in and everything's on tokens and people come in and just play pinball all day. We also do like a pinball league on the weekends and tournaments every now and then and the whole shebang.
Wow. Okay. So it's interesting because there's a guy in Michigan who is a pinball machine designer that I talked with. He was doing a Kickstarter and I talked with him about it. And
that's cool.
He was really interesting. I talked with him about the pinball stuff because I am terrible at pinball if I think about it. if I just stand there and pull the buttons and switch at and keep the ball in play, I've got these people who are huge pinball fans going, "How are you doing that?" I'm just playing. I'm just kind of doing it. So I get a huge kick. There was a Star Trek one that I played a lot, and that was the one. Yeah. Some of the Star Trek guys. So that was one reason why I did that. Yeah. So that was good stuff. So another description, because I'm fascinated by how this is all set up. It says, those who visit Revenge of find community among the shared interest in comic books, graphic novels, and collectibles. Latina comic book lovers, a 6-year Captain Marvel fan, a French Revolution history buff, and a gay graphic novel aficionado are just a few of the patrons who have found content and collectibles at the store that is personally curated by Jeff and Joe Myers, apparently is the other one.
So, and Joe Koontz. Yeah, there's two Joes and a
Koontz.
Jeff.
Okay, all right.
Joe Myers and Joe Koontz.
All right, that got to cause some confusion sometimes. So I'm curious because I often talk to people who are running comic shops to find out what it is that they're up to, because every store has a different personality, it seems. Mm-hmm. Did you ever read the article that the head of Boom Studios once wrote about how comic book stores are like a third home?
No, I didn't, but I'll have to look that up.
It was an interesting story. I'll tell you a little bit about what he said. He said that everybody has at least three homes. You know, the first home is where you live. Second home is like a work home.
Mm-hmm.
And the third home is the place you go to talk with people about your passions.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Because that sounds like your store. Go ahead. Talk. Was that the goal when you set it up?
Yeah, I mean, we had a number of goals when we were first starting the business. You know, one was to make a space that was very inclusive to anyone who's either just starting out with comic books or even like the most hardcore fans. We just wanted to make it a place that everyone felt welcome to come and hang out. The other goal was, you know, we wanted to make it a comfortable space so that people would be encouraged to hang out. So there's like a seating area and we sell beverages and snacks and you know, we've been fortunate enough to have a lot of like really dedicated patrons that, you know, come by almost every day and want to hang out with us and have a drink, play some pinball machines and, you know, pick up their comics.
So, you know, I've known stores that have taken that a little too far. There was a store I went to. This dates this way back. We were up in Pennsylvania, and there was a store. It was the wedding of Peter Parker and Mary Jane.
Mm-hmm.
And what the store did was they served wedding cake.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's a lot.
the problem they had was months later, they're still scooping wedding cake out of comics in the store.
Oh, no. Yeah, that was definitely a concern with, you know, the drinks and the snacks and things like that. But we keep it fairly limited, and everyone's really respectful, and we haven't really had any issues. So
well, that's good. Are there designed areas where they can go and sit and, like, eat food?
Yeah, there's like a whole sofa area up in the front with a Ms. Pac-Man cocktail table that's on free play all the time. So people hang out up there. And then, you know, there's like drink holders next to each pinball machine. And we also, our counter is kind of more of like a bar. So there's bar stools at the counter that you can sit at. Yeah, it's kind of like a soda shop sort of feel.
So I have to say, I whenever I go to a location, I end up going to some of the stores there just to kind of find out what they're doing, how they're doing. There was another store I went to that had gaming, but no snacks.
Seems like a missed opportunity.
Well, that's what I said to him. I said, you know, these people are going to eventually want something to eat or drink, and they have to leave and come back. Now, why you don't sell that, I don't know. And he was kind of like, oh, too much trouble. So I came back about six months later, and he's selling soda and snacks.
Of course.
And I looked at him, and I didn't say anything, but I thought, well, it became obvious that was a good idea. So he eventually got to that. So I'm always intrigued at how people do that. Now, see, I've also gone to stores where they sell more than comics. And of course, you're a good example with the pinball machines. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. One store I went to, they sold comic books, ladies' shoes, and they did window tinting for cars. So there was something for everybody.
Quite the mixed bag.
Yeah. I went there looking, this is how long ago this was. I was looking for the Dark Knight Returns. Mm-hmm. And I went to the store, and I looked around, and I went, what the? And, you know, there's ladies' shoes. Of course, I passed that right by. So where are the comics? They said, oh, it's back in the back. So I went to the back, and guess what? There's the comic books back there. And they said, are you interested in getting your car's windows tinted? I said, well, no, I came here for the comic books. So and another thing, too, there was another store where I went to, and they sold comics and software. Computer software. And then he switched that, and then they went to novels, like graphic novels, but actual word novels, and they had those there. So people are always looking for that other thing that they can use to complement the comic books and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think, you know, we like to consider ourselves a nerd bodega. So it's like everything you would need under one roof. So it's kind of like a convenience store type feeling when you walk in, obviously, with the design turned up to 11. But, you know, we've got comic books, we've got novels, we've got movies, video games, board games, kind of like a little bit of everything, but all within that sort of like zeitgeist of like nerd culture.
Okay. How long has it been open?
We've been open since January. So almost a year.
Oh, wow. Okay, so that's good. This was after the pandemic started to ease up a little.
Yeah. We started the build out last year, around like September of last year. So
was that kind of daring? Because, you know, we weren't sure how everything was going to work out. So I'm not quite. You guys took a chance when you did this, as far as I know.
Yeah, I mean, I think we as a people are searching for community again, and I think that we were able to kind of identify a location and a need to kind of create community for a lot of people. So, you know, I think we popped up at just the right moment where it's really starting to resonate with a lot of people and give people that third home, like you mentioned.
If you get a chance, I'd read that article because it's really it intrigued me. And I write columns for at Major Spoilers, and I talked about that because I thought that's such an interesting concept. I've known people who go to stores and bring their own chairs with them because they want to sit down and have a long conversation.
That's pretty out there. Look, we provide chairs.
That's good. So he wouldn't have to do that. That'd be good. Because I've always been astonished at what people do in comic shops. Some people, there's one store I went to, it reminds me of. I went in there, and the window was shattered. And I said, oh my gosh. I looked around as quick as I could because he just opened. And I looked around, and I didn't see any comics missing. I said, thank heavens. They didn't take any of the comics. And the guy gave me this funny look, and I thought, oh, they weren't after the comics. Gotcha. He was selling something else that the public wasn't made aware of. And so comic shops are always an interesting place to go. You just never know what you're going to find there.
Yeah.
So I'm always intrigued. So, but I've got some questions about how you handle the business there.
Yeah.
As far as comic books and graphic novels and stuff like that, what's the balance between that? Because some people, I talked to Bob Layton a long time ago, and he was talking about the fact that he thought we would end up with the European model of comic shops, and they sell almost exclusively graphic novels.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what's it like where you are? Do you keep up with the weekly comic book sales? Oh, you do? Okay.
Yeah, big time. I would say, I don't know. I would say we take up about 50-50 in terms of like square footage when it comes to graphic novels versus single issues. But we do carry, I think it's up to like 100 single issues per week. We have space to display 100 per week. So we've got, quite a bit that come out weekly. And I think we're up to almost 60 pull box customers now. So that's people that, set up their pulls with us online and then come in every week to pick up their selections. So, single issues is definitely a big business for us. And then we try to carry like as many of the graphic novels as possible, especially ones that did well as single issues or, ones that are being optioned for TV and film and all that kind of stuff.
Okay. And being a diverse store, especially like recently, they've been DC and Marvel in particular have been putting out gay graphic novels and stuff. How are they selling in your store? How do they do?
Well, that's part of the inclusivity for our store, is like we have a lot of LGBT clients or patrons that come in. And, we certainly cater towards that. We want to give them a safe space to like come in and get those sort of themed graphic novels and single issues alongside, X-Men and Batman and all that kind of stuff. So, I think we're starting to be well known as a place that that caters to that. So, we do carry a lot of that sort of stuff and it's done really well for us.
I've got to ask you because there's a couple of things that DC has done recently.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that they're smart, but they're doing them. They have Tim Drake has a boyfriend, and not only does he have a boyfriend, but
Superman's son
has a boyfriend. And what's interesting is that Superman's son's book apparently is going to end in number 18, and they're going to make Action Comics a Superman family with the quotes around the family.
Oh, part. Cool.
And they're going to have him in there moving forward as opposed to him being in Superman. Kal-El's going to take over the Superman book again. So I'm just kind of curious, what was the reaction to all that in your store?
I mean, those particular titles sell really well for us, So, we're in Los Angeles. We're very progressive. We are in an area, that really resonates with those sort of that group of individuals. And I mean, me as one of them. So, we sell that stuff like crazy, like Nightwing and Son of Kal-El and like all that sort of stuff. So, it's great. For sure.
Okay, so that's kind of interesting. So people there really liked that business. They didn't.
Yeah, I'm sure that there's some comic stores, in Middle America that probably aren't doing so well with those particular titles. But I mean, for us, it's like a huge get, and we have a lot of LGBT patrons that are. Specifically asking for that stuff. So it's great to have the representation, especially when it's a medium that you're a part of the fandom.
I'm just curious, are you unique when it comes to Los Angeles? Are you the only store doing that? Or because of the Los Angeles area, are there others that are somewhat similar to what you do?
I mean, obviously, there's a lot of really great comic stores in Los Angeles. We've got Golden Apple, we've got Secret Headquarters, things like that. But I mean, we're definitely doing something unique, and we're trying to create a new experience for the comic shop goer. So we like to say that we're like a gay bookstore masquerading as a comic book shop. So we certainly, like I said at the beginning, this is all a home for like everything that we love. We wanted to put everything that we like in one space and hopefully attract like-minded people. So I think we're definitely standing out in terms of, the other comic book shops. We're also not really stepping on anyone's turf because we're in like a different area than everyone else. So I think there's room enough for all of us to do kind of our own thing. And I think we've been able to find a niche that's really working.
And I noticed, too, that you sell graphic novels about superheroes of color.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, again, going back to inclusivity and representation, we want to make sure that, like, you know, everything is available and accessible. We are in a, you know, predominantly Latinx community. So we have a lot of patrons that come in, you know, looking for that sort of stuff. So we carry single issues and graphic novels in Spanish and novels in Spanish. And, you know, we carry all those different titles that you know, have the representation.
Okay. I have something that bothers me, and you can feel free to disagree with me on this thing. I don't like it when they take a person of color and stuff that person into an existing costume. The example I always use is Miles Morales. I you know, they're now, not only are they making him Spider-Man, they're making him the Hulk and Thor and all these other things. But to me, that, I don't know. I feel like that's kind of a cheat to me, because, you know, I like to see a little more creativity in those kinds of things rather than just making, you know, just, it's kind of safe to take somebody and put them in a Spider-Man costume because, you know, people are just going to say, oh, that's Spider-Man, I'll pick it up. Mm-hmm. But I want to see something that is, there's a book that just came out. I think it's called Isol. It's from the Ripaverse. Mm-hmm. Is the name of, I don't know, are you familiar with that at all?
I don't know that one.
It's if you go to ripaverse.com, you'll see it. It is a diverse comic in the sense that most of the people are people of color in there. And they did a fundraising thing for it, and they wanted $100,000. They raised almost $4 million.
Oh, wow.
And when I saw that, my jaw hit the floor. I was like, I haven't seen anybody in a comic raise that kind of money. And if a store in the area where I live, which is in Central Florida, picked up some of those books, and I bought one right from what's funny is the store I go to normally also picked up and sold copies, but I didn't know it was there, and they sold through them so fast that I couldn't find out they even had it. And the same thing for this one over in Daytona Beach. They got several copies of it. It was sold out in a day or two. And so that's heartening to me, because this is a totally new world-building experience, and that's the kind of thing I like. I encourage people to do that, and there's several of them, several books that are like that. And I feel kind of like this is – you know, when they created Superman, they had to start from scratch.
Right.
You know, and just to put somebody in New York City, to me, just feels less. You know, they're really not trying. They're saying, hey, that's a little safe comic book. So I just kind of, what's your opinion on that? I'm kind of convinced that you're going to want to sell Miles Morales as well.
Well, I love Miles Morales personally. Okay. I'm a huge Spider-Man fan, and, you know, I just think his character is interesting, regardless of, like, color or any of that sort of stuff. Like, I just think his backstory is interesting, and it's an interesting take on the character, for sure. And I love how they've integrated him into, like, the larger world of Spider-Man. You know, I'm reading, you know, The Amazing Spider-Man, but also Edge of Spider-Verse. I just read, there's a new title coming out today called Deadly Neighborhood Spider-Man. That I just read last night, which is pretty cool. But I mean, I know that Miles Morales, I think they did do a run where it was like a multiverse situation, right? Where he was like playing all the different characters, or I didn't really follow that one. I haven't been reading the most recent line, but as a character, I think he's amazing. And I love what they're doing with him. And everyone that comes in is generally huge fans of Miles Morales. So more is what I say.
So that doesn't bother you guys. That's not.
No, not at all. Of course not. Okay. I think the more of that, the better, honestly.
Okay. Cause you know, everybody looks at things differently. And to me, I'm glad people like it. And I think it's a good thing. My thing is, as long as it sells comics and brings in new people for comics, we could use every one of them.
Yeah. So, and I think the point is to have, you know, like I keep saying, is representation, you know, like there's comic book fans of all walks of life. And I think it's important for them to be able to pick up a comic book and see themselves in it to some degree. You know, that's where kind of the magic happens. And I think that's where where the fandom begins. And, you know, we have all different kinds of customers, and it's so great to see what they're interested in and for them to be able to pick up a book that, you know, represents their lifestyle. You know, it's just great.
As far as like recruiting people into the comics business, do you get many people coming in there who are saying, I don't know anything about comics. What would you recommend? Yeah. Do you have certain books that you recommend to people?
I mean, we've got an amazing staff that, you know, that works for us that is like, they're all huge fans. You know, we're big fans. So we've got our go-tos of like to recommend to people to like get started. But then also, you know, we got a lot of people coming in saying, you know, I don't know what I like, but this is kind of what I'm into. You know, what would you recommend? Or I read this when I was in college. Is there something kind of like that? So we get a lot of that. And we do have like a recommendation shelf, and we've got picks of the week up on the wall that each of the employees choose. So, I mean, we're very, you know, we get a lot of compliments on how friendly we are with the customers, but also how easy it is for them to ask questions or come in completely blind and then leave with, you know, a bag full of stuff.
Okay, because there was a store I went to in Maryland where they paid the people who worked there to read the comics.
Yeah.
And what that was for me, I would go in there and I would be buying my books, and they would say to me, "Hey, have you tried this book?"
Yeah.
I'd say, "I don't know that book. What's it about?" And they would sit there and explain it to me. And more often than not, I would buy them. And there was a book, because I'm always interested in other cultures and how things. There was a book about a Jew, somebody who pretended to be a Jewish rabbi.
Mm-hmm.
And he got found out. And the whole story was about how he was going to deal with now. He pretended to be a rabbi for years. And now how was he going to deal with this stuff now that he was found out and stuff like that? I learned a lot about Jewish culture. I learned a lot about, you know, what it meant to be a rabbi and stuff like that. And so for me, see, I go looking for those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. I love those kinds of books. And there was another book called Vietnam America, which was about Vietnamese people living in America. And again, I learned a lot about the cultures and stuff like that. So when I go to a shop, I often look for things like that, that'll educate me on stuff I don't know about. So
yeah,
that's the kind of thing. Do you guys do that kind of thing?
For sure. I mean, we encourage the staff to read as much as they can, obviously, once, you know, everything has been cleaned and restocked and all that. But they are very efficient at getting through, you know, a wide selection of comics. And I think it's important that they're knowledgeable on the products, you know, and are able to recommend. I mean, that's how we create community, you know, is being able to have that dialogue and being able to recommend to people intelligently what they should be reading or what they might like. And that's all a part of the experience, for sure.
Yeah, because I so many times, well, I've made a lot of friends in a comic shop. I was standing there, and again, this dates me, but I was standing there looking at the new Spider-Man costume, which was solid black. Mm-hmm. And I stood there and went, ugh. And the guy next to me said, "Isn't that terrible?" And we ended up talking, and when the store was closed, we were still out in our car, in one of our cars, talking about comics and stuff like that. We were so hungry to have a conversation.
That's cool.
And so, see, those kinds of things are the kinds of things, you know, so many times people who run comic shops kind of want the library concept.
Right.
Shh, don't say anything. You know, don't talk because, you know, again, but I want just the opposite. I want people to talk and tell me what I don't know. I might learn something's really good if I listen to people talk about some stuff. So I seek out places where they talk and the people behind the counter have a good idea. Although the store I go to now, the owner, she's really good. She does stuff. But there are other people who tell me, you know, we order stuff for you that I never heard of. And so I look into it because I am endlessly looking at trying out things that I don't know anything about. I'll say, just order me that one so I can take a look at it. And this guy was saying, you know, once I saw what this was and you were buying, I said, man, I want to try that out too. And so they would buy other ones, other copies of it, just so other people could try them out as well.
That's cool.
So I'm always at stores. Stores to me should be that kind of a place.
Yeah.
You talk about inclusivity and stuff like that. You guys, I want to go in there and I want to be able to have a conversation with somebody and not feel like, look at me and go, oh, you want to talk? You know, that kind of stuff. And I've been to places like those. I went to a store in Washington, D.C. It's on the second floor of a building. And we went up there, and the guy who ran the place was behind a computer, and he never looked up. He just sat there, tickety, 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 and I'm going, I've got money to spend, but I don't know what I want to buy, and this guy won't talk with me.
Yeah, I mean, so, I always hated the experience of going into a shop and then kind of being like a little bit afraid to like ask a question, or like you don't want to come off stupid about something, so you kind of just browse and then leave, you know? And we didn't want that to be what our place was, you know? We wanted to make sure that people felt really welcome and like are able to have a conversation regardless of their knowledge level of any particular, you know, title.
I was in a month's store one time, and there were these two, like 13-year-old boys standing near me. And a new issue of Wolverine had just come out. And the second one just come in the door and says to the other one, he says, oh my gosh, he says, Wolverine's out and he's sweating. And I was in a bad mood that day, I guess. And I turned to them, I said, don't you hate it when they do somebody out of character? And the guy behind the counter had to duck back down because he wanted to laugh and didn't want to laugh in front of the kids. And I just, you know, I just, that kind of stuff always makes me kind of laugh. So I didn't want to, they just kind of blinked at me and kind of walked away and got back to their discussion. But, you know, it's an interesting place, a comic book shop is. It just is.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you ask when you're going to hire somebody, do you ever hire somebody that has very little knowledge of comics, or is that a requirement?
I mean, we've been pretty fortunate so far. I mean, I think it's definitely a requirement that you are a fan of some kind. But I mean, when we opened, I hadn't read single issue comics in, you know, decades probably. So I think, but now I read, you know, 12 a week at least. So I think just being open to the fandom is priority number one. And then, you know, you can learn about the comics once you're there, you know.
Okay. And from what I was reading, you guys are big on events and stuff like that. You guys just finished up what was called Lotzilla, a monthly immersive experience in your parking lot of all places.
Yeah.
Talk about that. What was that like?
Yeah. So we did an event series once a month for the entire summer. So it was four times. And, you know, we have an awesome parking lot space behind the store that we are able to take over on the weekends. And, you know, we just invited in a bunch of different vendors from around the area and just had like kind of a big party every month. And, you know, going back to the fact that I'm a set designer and we have a fabrication shop, so we were able to kind of pull in all that and, you know, build elaborate sets and kind of theme out the whole thing. So, you know, it was a big hit for us for sure. And it was really fun to kind of create that community, even further by giving people something to do on the weekends. And, you know, we finished our Lotzillas, but we've continued to do other events. Our last event we just had was a book launch party with Boom that we did in collaboration with Boom Studios. And that one was huge as well. So, and we're planning on partnering up with them again for the remaining future. So we're already talking about stuff for next year and things like that. But I think the events are kind of, I mean, it's the fun part for me to kind of plan and bring them to life. But I think it also, it makes it so, you know, we're not just a comic book store. We're like, we're a whole brand and we're a whole space for everyone to kind of mingle and come together, you know?
So how do people find out about events you're going to have?
We do a number of different advertising, you know, we're really big on social media. So our Instagram is like the main one. So we're at revengeof_comicsandpinball. We post everything there. We also do, you know, flyers in the store and at other locations around town. We do advertising on Facebook, you know, we're kind of all over the place, but, I think Instagram's like our main one. We also have our website, revengeof.com, which we, actually sell a lot, and we ship around the country. So, you know, that one's pretty big for us as well.
Now, I've got to ask, of course, because the Christmas for a comic shop is Free Comic Book Day. Mm-hmm. Did you guys have a Free Comic Book Day celebration this year?
We did, yeah. That was actually our very first event that we had done, and it was only a couple months after we had opened. We didn't really know what to expect, but we had you know, a line around the block pretty much all day, and then we offered free ice cream. So we had free like an ice cream guy in the back just making cones for everybody. So yeah, it was really great, and it was fun, and it was kind of our first taste to see like what we could be capable of in terms of like bringing people together. So that was pretty cool.
Did you limit how many comics somebody could take?
Yeah, I think we did 5 per person. So we printed out these like menus so people could kind of see what was available while they waited in line. And then, yeah, each person was able to get 5 books. And then, you know, once the day was kind of winding down, if there was extras, we let people take a couple more. But yeah, 5.
Did it last all day? Because sometimes I go to Free Comic Book Day, and when the initial burst is over, it kind of ceases. But I've been to other stores where even at night, 8 o'clock at night, people are still coming in trying to get free comics. What was it like at your place?
It was all day for sure. I mean, we opened at 11 to a big line, and then you know, it went until like 7 p.m. when we closed. We also did a signing during the day of one of the free comics, so that kind of helped boost it. But yeah, it was kind of nonstop. It was crazy, and like I said, it was our first event, so we didn't know what to expect. But yeah, it went really well.
Did you notice by any chance, were these new people? Were these people who knew comics? Who were the people that were coming in? Do you know?
I mean, lots of kids for sure and their parents. And I think lots of people, you know, that were into comics that were bringing their friends, and their friends weren't quite in, but they were getting the free stuff, you know? So I think it was a mixture. I think that's what's great about our store is our patrons are like really a mixture of the knowledgeable to the not so knowledgeable, you know, and it's great to have that come together.
Okay. Now the second part of that, the part that doesn't ever seem to go over quite as well, is the Halloween version of Comic Book Day.
Trick or read or whatever it's called?
Comic Fest or Halloween Comic Fest or something.
Yeah.
Are you guys going to be doing that, or what are you going to do with that?
Yeah, we are. So we're going to carry, I don't have the titles in front of me, but I know we're going to have a bunch of titles available for that. We are doing another event this coming weekend on the 22nd. We're doing a t-shirt launch, a t-shirt release. That's another thing we do is like we do our own apparel. So we do these t-shirt drops that people are really into, but we're doing one this weekend. And then I think next weekend is the trick or read or whatever it's called. And I'm not sure how we're going to do that quite yet, but we've already received the comics. So I better figure it out.
Okay. Cause I always think that the comic books, they should be scheduling things based on what's coming out.
Yeah.
I always tell the story of Klaus, which was done by Grant Morrison. Mm-hmm. The initial issue of the miniseries came out the week of Christmas. But then in May, they were still really, the final issue came out in May. And I wondered, was I the only one buying that Christmas comic in the middle of May? And since then, what they've done, this is genius in my mind, they put out Klaus on the Wednesday before Christmas.
Yeah.
And it's a one shot. And
oh, cool.
I always say that is a brilliant thing to do because like I said, in May, I just don't think people are in the mood to buy Christmas stuff. So I'm hoping they do the same kind of thing. As far as, and of course, Christmas is a time to get gift cards and all those things. I always tell people, don't buy physical copies. Buy gift cards because they can buy what they want.
Yeah.
And is that you guys, do you kind of approach it that way too?
Yeah. I mean, I always think that personally, as when I give a gift, I like to try to give something that either means something to me that I think the person will like versus a gift card. But I do see the benefit in giving a gift card to somebody because then they can just get whatever they want. But sometimes it feels like maybe there isn't a lot of thoughtfulness behind that, in my opinion. Not to say I don't want to sell as many gift cards as I possibly can, because I certainly do. But, you know, I think there's something to like, here's a gift card, but also here's the single issue comic that I really love that I think you might like. You know what I mean?
Well, as the person who's been on the receiving end, people find out I'm a Batman fan.
Yeah.
So what they do is they go to the store and say, sell me something that's got Batman in it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I opened it up on Christmas morning. I said, oh, I've had this for 2 years. So thank you.
Yeah. I don't think I would necessarily buy somebody like a single issue comic as a gift, or I don't know. I mean, I guess it depends on the person, you know, like if somebody's already a comic fan, you're not going to get, you shouldn't probably get them something because, you know, they either already have it or don't want it.
Now, you talked about t-shirts and stuff. How do you do as far as like other collectibles, like statues and figures and things like that? How do you guys sell those?
Yeah, I mean, I do all the purchasing for the toys and figures, and we do well with that kind of stuff for sure. I carry like NECA and Super 7 and McFarlane toys and things like that. As far as statues go, I mean, we only carry a couple. We don't have a ton of space, and those move a lot slower. So I'm not really inclined to like carry a lot of that sort of stuff. Like, but you know, we have a few things. Anything that's like thematic to our store, like Godzilla or horror themed or something like that, we'll try to carry at least a couple of them. But you know, it's not like we have glass cases like a normal comic store where we have, you know, Wolverine statues or anything like that. Yeah, so we do pretty good with that, with the figures and the toys for sure. But I think that's where it ends for me.
Well, I'll tell you two quick stories. There is in Virginia, just south of Washington D.C., there are two comic book stores across the street from each other.
Wow!
There's one that focuses largely on comics, and the other one across the street focuses largely on collectibles like statues and figures and stuff. Mm-hmm. I kind of figure that's how they get along.
Yeah.
Is it good? Because, you know, they don't tread on each other, because even though they're right across the street from each other.
And yeah.
Let me tell one more quick story. I was in another store and I said to them, oh, there's this $50 Batman statue that I really want. And I said, okay. And so I wrote it on my subscription thing. Couple months go by. I'm traveling around. I go to a store in the Maryland area. We stopped at a store in Harrisburg, and I looked up and there was the statue I wanted. I said, oh, that's interesting. And I went back to the store and I said to them, I thought I ordered that statue. Oh, we don't buy statues. Oh, that's nice. I wish you'd have told me when I ordered that, because I would not have ordered it and thought it was coming. So I ended up buying it somewhere else, but they sometimes people are a little too agreeable. And so for me, I like when people are straightforward with me. Like when people, another thing I run into comic shops all the time is when they tell me, oh, we got shorted on that one.
Yeah.
Then I look around, there's a kid going around carrying that issue in his hands. I'm going, okay. Yeah.
I got to tell you though, now that I'm in the comic industry, there is quite a bit of, you know, it's tough with the distribution as far as like, there's a lot of times where, you know, our shipment won't come in at the right day and we'll be late with some stuff, or we won't get the right order. So there's a lot of that for sure. It's definitely a learning curve. And I think there's a lot of like things that are not controllable for us as a retailer. So it can be tough for sure.
Paper shortages and all that good stuff.
All that going kind of
on.
Stuff.
Yeah. I help with some folks who are in the industry, and all you have to do is say paper shortage and they wail in terror. Because it's just terrible how, you know, they're trying to get books on the shelf and they just can't get the paper in there. So that's just something. You've got to be patient. But I noticed that comic fans are usually pretty patient if you're up front with them. If you tell them,
yeah,
well, this has happened and that has happened and that's why the book isn't on time, people say, okay. Very few people get mad.
Yeah, and we're pretty good about it. I mean, we're all about the engaging with customers, you know. So like on every Tuesday night at 7:45, Pacific time. We do a live stream on Instagram and Twitch where we go through all the new issues for the week and everything that's come in before we put it out on the shelves. So if there is a delay in something or we didn't get something, we'll generally talk about it there. So then everyone's kind of aware of what's going on. But we get a lot of people tuning in, and you know, that's how they kind of base their pull boxes off of, you know, what I kind of described to them. So it's cool to be able to engage with people in that way.
Of course, that's a little late. It's hard to order, you know, when they say, I want that book, but you only ordered five of them and they're already spoken for. It's a little, I get nervous when people say, well, I want that book. I'll be there tomorrow to get it.
Yeah. I mean, mostly, if we've already filled all the pull box customers, and I won't talk about a particular title, but if we've got plenty of extras, then yeah, it's usually up for grabs.
Because in this area, what they usually do is they take pictures and put it out on Facebook.
Yeah. Yeah.
They'll run that way. So either way is fine as far as I'm concerned. But as long as it gets the word out, a lot of video and stuff is always a great way, especially on Instagram, if that's your
for sure
place of choice. It's good stuff. Anything else that we should know about your store?
Oh, man. Well, like I said, we have an online presence. So if you went to revengeup.com, you can purchase, you know, our merch or any comic or toy or anything that we sell in store, and we ship it all over the country. We also are super active on Instagram at revengeof_comicsandpinball. And, like I said, we are on Twitch on Tuesdays, and I think that's all the things.
All right. Well, if somebody wants to, place an order, do you guys have a phone number where they can call?
Yeah, the phone number is on the website. I can't say that I know it. But if you go to our website, all that information is right on there. You can give us a call and you can place a special order. It's something that we don't carry. And as soon as we get it in, we'll ship it to you. But yeah, we're super easy to get a hold of. I mean, people can send us DMs on Instagram and we respond right away. And like, it's all about the customer experience for us. So try to get a hold of us and we'll get right back to you.
Well, that's really great. Sounds like the Revenge of is going to be around for a long time, and that's a good thing for the L.A. area and areas close to it, because it, maybe we'll be lucky and other people will see how successful you are and decide to do something similar in other areas. It'd be a good thing. So, well, Jeff, it was really good to talk with you, and I hope you have lots of good success and things just continue to blossom. And are you ever gonna? I always wish a store would show comic book related movies, but I guess with HBO Max and stuff, that kind of is a non sequitur these days. But
we do have screens up all over, so we've got a couple flat screens in the comic room and one in the pinball room. We show trailers and like kind of cool stuff, but we're working on doing like possibly a movie night down the line. So we'll see. Fingers crossed.
I'm always curious now because these days people are putting out more and more videos about comics and stuff. Do you guys share those videos in your store?
We do. Yeah, we do. So we have everything's programmed in the store. So when new comics are coming out, we'll put up the video. A lot of these companies are doing trailers now for their single issues. So we'll make sure to have those up so people can see kind of what's going on.
Well, cool, Jeff. You're right on track with everything that I can think of, and so I think it's really great that that you guys are looking forward and keeping up with stuff. So all I can say is keep it up, and we hope we see a lot more from Revenge of in the future.
Yeah, sounds good. Thanks for having me.
People need dramatic examples to shake them out of apathy, and I can't do that as Bruce Wayne, as a man. From flesh and blood, I can be ignored, I can be destroyed, but as a symbol.
Get the latest from the comics universe. News, interviews, previews, and reviews. Listen to the weekly Wayne's Comics Podcast so you can keep reading your comics.
And that's it for this week. Be back next time. We'll have another great interview with another terrific comics creator. But until then, keep reading your comics.